Let's spend some time on the candidates who aren't currently leading the straw poll, but who have real profiles and real arguments for why they should be running the UN in 2027. Because the candidate field in this race is, honestly, one of the strongest in a generation, and the people who didn't top the first poll aren't simply also-rans.
Michelle Bachelet is probably the most globally recognized name in this field. She served two non-consecutive terms as president of Chile, 2006 to 2010, and then 2014 to 2018, and between those terms she led UN Women from 2010 to 2013. Then she served as UN High Commissioner for Human Rights from 2018 to 2022. That's an extraordinary depth of both executive leadership and UN institutional experience. If you were designing a resume for this job from scratch, it would look a lot like hers.
And yet she hasn't broken through in the straw poll numbers, which tells you something. The continuity candidate tag that follows Greenspan also, implicitly, follows Bachelet. She's deeply embedded in the existing institutional culture, and some member states are looking for something different. There's also the question of political baggage. Her second presidential term ended with significant domestic controversy over economic management and social unrest. And some Security Council members may have private reservations about how that narrative plays internationally.
Espinosa brings something genuinely distinctive. She was the first Latin American woman to serve as president of the UN General Assembly. That's not an administrative role, it means she has firsthand experience managing the deliberative politics of 193 member states, setting agendas, brokering resolutions, and navigating the floor. The General Assembly presidency is a different kind of experience than running a country or leading an agency, and in a role that requires working with the full membership rather than just the Security Council, that background matters.
Macky Sall's presence in the race is both the most interesting outlier and the most structurally constrained. He's the only candidate making a clear case that the Latin American rotation convention should be set aside in favor of sub-Saharan African representation. He has genuine continental stature. He chaired the African Union during a particularly turbulent period for the continent, and he'd be a formidable Secretary General if the structural constraints weren't so significant. But those constraints are real. A candidate who is technically out of rotation needs either a deadlock among the Latin American candidates or an explicit decision by the Security Council to waive the convention.
The waiver scenario isn't impossible. In 1996, when Boutros-Ghali, who was Egyptian, was not renewed for a second term, the selection of Kofi Annan involved significant procedural maneuvering. These processes have surprised before. What's different now is that the field of Latin American candidates is crowded, which paradoxically might make a consensus harder rather than easier to achieve, and a deadlock scenario is genuinely plausible.
On January 1, 2027, whoever takes this job inherits the full complexity of the current international order. The ongoing conflict in Ukraine, the unresolved situation in Gaza, climate finance architecture that's still deeply inadequate, AI governance frameworks that don't yet exist at the multilateral level, and a Security Council whose reform debate has just hit anew. One thing I keep coming back to is the question of what the new Secretary General will actually face on day one. Pitch of intensity. The question isn't just who is most qualified in the abstract, it's who is most equipped to operate in that specific environment with those specific pressure points.
And that framing actually helps Grossi's argument more than the straw poll numbers currently suggest. His IEA background means he has daily operational experience with exactly the intersection of technology, security, verification, and great power competition that defines the current moment. The nuclear dimension of the Ukraine war, the Iran negotiations, the emerging governance questions around nuclear energy as a climate solution, these aren't peripheral issues, they're central ones. Whether Security Council members ultimately see that as sufficient preparation for a broader mandate is what the next 2 months of diplomacy will determine.